to fall in our sense. You traded it for my guilt. You given me life within. You gave beauty for ashes. You gave it all for me. Love greater than my sin. You reached down and rescued me. You traded beauty for ashes. All you've done, all you gave me, did it just for me. And all I have, all I am, I give it back to thee. Have it.
The 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Very familiar verse of Scripture, but one that bears repeating. When you have it, say amen. And it reads, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and let all the hearers and doers of his word say amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is a problem in the church with believers not believing what thus saith the Lord. We've taken our focus off of God, off of His word, off of His will, and off of His way, and we've been bombarded by the images of the enemy, who makes us believe that he's more powerful than God. But the record is, whose report will you believe? God has said everything in the word that he's going to say about everything he's going to say about. And if we don't trust him, there is nothing more he can say to the believers. Because one of the things that we must understand is we have a responsibility to not only hear God, but to obey God, to heed him, to follow him, to trust him, to believe him, since he's not a man. 1 Samuel 15:22, that he should lie. It's important to recognize that if we're going to make sacrifices instead of obeying God, then we miss the fact that God can't receive sacrifices without obedience. A whole lot of folk think if we do this and we do that, that'll take the place of doing this or doing that for God. Some of us think if we do a little service, that'll take the place of giving the tithe and offering. Some think if we, pray at home, we don't have to come and be a part of the assembly of God and pray in the assembly, study the word in the assembly, be a part of the assembly. We've gotten so technologically advanced till now, we don't need any reason to stay home and say, well, I can get it on my television. My church streams. Little thing come up, every little instance come up. We find a way to dodge church, dodge God, dodge being where God wants us to be. Listen, God has a word for his people in every season. And every now and then, we find ourselves bothered by the problems of the world, bothered by the issues of life, bothered by the trials that we are going through. But Jesus made it clear to us that in this world, ye shall have tribulations. And if we don't come to the understanding and the realization that God allows us to go through things so that God can prove to the enemy that we belong to him. He's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to develop us and to define us, which makes us different from those in the world. Notice the scripture. Thou, God, will keep him, whoever you may be, in perfect peace. What does that mean? Perfect peace means mature peace, complete peace. God's not going to let there be a piece or a hole in your peace. Your peace is going to cover all of you like a blanket. So much so that you won't allow the enemy to creep in and cause doubt. But the only way that you can have that perfect peace is if you do your part. A whole lot of folk don't realize that we want God to do it all for us. If God does it all, then what do we do? He already loved us. He already gave his son. His son already gave his life. His son already rose from the dead. His son already gave us eternal life. His son has already gone back, sit on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. If he does any more, what else do we do? Our job is to walk in his word, to talk from his word, to live through his word. I want to teach you today. So many of us are afraid of what we see. Some of us were restless last night. And some of us were on edge because we knew that if some things change, a whole lot of other things would change. But let me tell you that if you keep your mind stayed on him, he won't let the devil creep in and put doubt in your mind. See, that's why the apostles say we walk by faith and not by sight. Because when we walk by sight, we see too much. And do you know, listen, it means that God wants us to trust him so much that we don't care whatever the enemy says, you believe God. See, that's why the devil don't want you to know God's word, because when you don't know God's word, then you're liable to perish. God says, my people perish for what? A lack of not any kind of knowledge, but the knowledge of the truth, the living word. I want to help you to learn how to talk to the devil. Anybody interested in learning how to talk to the devil? I'm going to teach you in 10 seconds. Whether you're a brand new believer, if you've been baptized and you're a baptized believer, been with the Lord for nearly 67 to 80 years, I'm going to teach you in 10 seconds how to talk to the... Do you want me to help you? When the devil get to messing with you, when the devil get to telling you you're not going to be healed, the devil tells you this, devil tells you that, you go in, the doctor gives you this report, and you believe in God for a different report, and the devil tells you, well, so-and-so died from that, and you believe in it. Listen, do you want to know how to talk to the devil? I want you to count down from 10 to 1, and I'm going to teach you from that time. Beginning now, count backwards now for those who don't know. Beginning now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You learn? Somebody missed it. Somebody missed it. You don't have any business talking to the devil. I'm just talking word. Let me help you. When Jesus was challenged in the wilderness, Jesus left us the supreme example of how to deal with the devil. He didn't talk to the devil of himself, and he very well could have. But he knew if he talked to him of himself,
we'd want to talk to the devil of ourselves, but we don't have the power that he had. When he was in the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. But he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen, he goes in, and when the devil tells him when he got hungry after 40 days to eat that, turn that stone into bread, Jesus didn't talk to him. He quoted scripture. Don't miss this now. You see, the reason why many of us can't rebuke the devil with the word of God, it's because we don't know the word of God. He said, Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And every temptation after that, Jesus said, it is written. Jude, book of Jude. Somebody say, what chapter? There ain't no chapters. But the Bible says that the angels would not make railings against the enemy. They just said, the Lord rebuke you. Even the angels didn't get into no argument talking to the devil. They just said, the Lord rebukes you. Now let me tell you whom God has given that ability to say that he will rebuke them to. Now I know you're going to be kind of mad with me, but I want to just qualify this and quantify this from scripture. Turn to the last book of the Old Testament. That's the book right before Matthew's in the New Testament, called Malachi. Turn to chapter 3 and look at verse 11. I'm going to skip over verse 10 because y'all get mad when y'all hear verse 10. See, because verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithe into the, there you go, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord. See if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And what does verse 11 say? And connective conjunction means I'm connecting verse 10 with verse 11. If you don't do verse 10, you don't get verse 11. What does he say in verse 11? And I will rebuke the devourer. For what? For what? For your sake. Well, listen, if he's rebuking the devourer, why do I got to go around rebuking him all day? If he's rebuking him for my sake, then ain't no sense in both of us rebuking him. Because when God rebukes him, he ain't going to have no issue with me no more. Are y'all listening to me? See, that's truth. Truth. Truth is what gives you a comfort in knowing that God is going to back up his word. And you have the peace, because God is not a man that he should lie. God ain't got time to lie to you. Who are you? Listen, God is so much God. Listen to what the word says. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you nothing about it. Why? Because we couldn't feed him. We couldn't do anything about it. That's a helpful hint to us. We ought to stop telling folk that can't do nothing about our problems. I'm just venting. We'll vent to Jesus. Tell the one who can fix it something. Stop getting on the phone. Stop drumming in a pit, a trap. And all they're going to do is take your business and go run it out and tell it in the street. Now listen, so-and-so told me don't tell you. Now listen, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What keeps our peace perfect is knowing God's word, God's will, God's way, because we then cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. If he cares for us, then I don't need to be worried about anything. When I trust him, I don't worry. When I worry, I don't trust him. Some of you got some missions coming up this week, and you can't hardly listen to me right now for worrying. Some of you got some bills you can't pay, and I mean, you worrying yourself. Listen, all you got to do is do what you're supposed to do. Some of you are in a vicious cycle, and it just seems to keep going month after month, week after week, on and on and on, because we have not applied God's word. The old folks say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. On the one who can change, conquer, and control my every situation and condition. Can't trust man to do, because he'll promise he'll do it and then come up with an excuse why he can't. But God never promises anything and don't deliver. He's faithful. How many of you know he's faithful? I say, how many of you know he's faithful? Have there been times in your life you've been in situations you didn't know how you were going to get out, but God? I said, but God? And many of us turn to everybody but God. And God gets upset about that. But thou wilt keep him. Keep him. That means guard him. Protect him. In perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That means you can't give God some of your mind and some of your heart and some of your thoughts and fill the rest of it with everything else. God's not going to share his glory with nobody. God is tired of the believer treating him like a part-time lover. Love him when we want something. Love him when we need something. Love him when nobody else will help us or bless us. Then we cry out and call on him to step in and help us. But God wants us to love him through the good, through the bad, through the happy, through the sad, when you're up, when you're down. He promised he'd never leave us. So why do we leave him? Then wonder why he doesn't come when we call him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. God wants you to desire him, to love on him, to worship him, to spend time with him, to make time for him, not to rush out of his presence and not to stay away from him so long. God wants you to say, God, if you ever leave me, I'm subject to lose my mind. God, I can't make it without you. God wants you to love on him and let him know if it hadn't been for him, you ain't trying to act like you can do it all yourself. You got it all together by yourself. You can make it all by yourself. You need him. And he wants to feel like he's needed. There was a young preacher who didn't really trust in the Lord. He was very gifted. And he had been given an opportunity to preach at his church, which was a large church. And he sat on the front row. And he was very confident and very exalted in himself. And when the pastor called him up and introduced him, he walked up to the pulpit very arrogantly, had his head way in the sky, came to the pulpit, and while he was exhorting the crowd, he opened up his Bible and began to put his notes all out so he could just walk it through them without having to touch them and flow through how he had planned to preach that message. Man, about 10, 15 minutes, he was going just like he wanted to go, like he had imagined it would be. He knew he was going to tear the house up. The house was all afire. And one old deacon got up after watching him sweat and turned on the pulpit fan. And all his little notes just started flying everywhere. Embarrassed, ashamed, didn't know what came next. He stooped down and picked up every one of his notes, tucked them in his Bible, closed his Bible, and walked back down with his head down. Sat back on the front pew. After service, one of the old mothers came up to him, put her arm around him, and said, "Son, if you would have gone up like you came down, you would have come down like you came up." Somebody didn't get that. In other words, if you would have humbled yourself going up to the pulpit, God would have exalted you coming down from the pulpit. You need him in everything you do. And we don't learn how to keep our minds on the Lord, trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, we'll miss it every time. And so the Bible says, because listen again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Listen, peace comes through trust, and trust makes peace. You see, the peace of God is not going to come to you unless you trust him. Paul in Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." In other words, The peace of God is going to dwell with those who keep their minds on the Lord, knowing that is nothing. There is nothing that God cannot do. And if God is with me, there is nothing God won't do for me. And if I keep my mind on him and not worry about the enemy, I say like David, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The teaching ministry